Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our blessed Savior. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, Luke 17. Let us pray. Lord, remind us that we cannot live on mere bread alone. The things of this world, they don't truly give us life. We live on every word that comes from your mouth. Teach us your people today. Feed our hungry souls with your life-giving word. Grant us the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for the reply. I appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving. You might turn to your neighbor and say, Happy Thanksgiving. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Now, the turkey's up here. We just need some dressing, mashed potatoes, pumpkin pie. I know Thanksgiving, the national day of Thanksgiving, isn't for several weeks, the end of November. I think it's November 28th. But really, every day for Christians, a day of Thanksgiving, a day of praise. It's 24/7, 365. We always overflow with thanksgiving and praise, as the young kids sang the great doxology. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. It just floats in the heart every day. Our gospel lesson today, Luke 17, is the model, ideal Thanksgiving gospel. As 10 are healed, but as we know the famous story, only one actually returns and gives thanks to Jesus. Let me share with you five things about real, genuine Thanksgiving. It's a problem in Christianity today. Even though we live in a blessed land like America, we have a lot of grumpy people. A lot of down, depressed people, a lot of people that don't think they have a whole lot, that always want something more and are not thankful at all. Where are the other nine? Jesus would ask. Praise be to God, you're the one that's here. Our Thanksgiving recipe today, it doesn't include turkey and dressing, but five qualities I pray the Spirit would lead us to as we be thankful people. First of all, the beginning of Thanksgiving is sorrow. The real beginning of Thanksgiving in the heart is sorrow and sadness over my pitiful condition in life apart from Jesus. We have 10 lepers, and they are at a distance, we read in the text. They're off in their own colony, as they were back in that day, because they were very contagious. So they had a leper's colony. When someone would walk by, the leper was supposed to yell, "Leper, leper, stay away." They were ostracized from the community. They were dying. They had leprosy after all, this horrible skin disease. They were helpless. They couldn't do anything about it. And they were hopeless. There was no hope of a cure. They were very, very sad, sorrowful men, dying. And all they can do as Jesus walks by, they say, "Master, have mercy. Have mercy. We need you. You're our only hope because we are dying." Thanksgiving begins with a broken heart, a sorrowful heart, knowing what we are like without Jesus, without his healing in his life. The 10 lepers, it is thought, often symbolize the 10 commandments. You think of the 10 commandments, love God, love your neighbor, or a summary of the 10 commandments. When you hear the law, love God, love your neighbor, the commandments leave us as lepers. The law leaves us as lepers because we don't obey it. We break it every day. I do, you do. So as we think of the law of God, be perfect. Love God, love your neighbor. We are lepers. We're alienated from the presence of God. We are dying people. We're helpless. We can't do anything about our sin. We are hopeless. We don't have any hope apart from Christ. We're left by ourselves in a pitiful condition as sinners, just crying out, "Jesus, have mercy." And we sang it how many times today in the Kyrie? Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. This is what we can pray. Just Lord, have mercy. Thanksgiving begins with a broken and contrite heart. I am so sorry for my wretchedness, Jesus. So sorry for my sins. Only you can save me. But when we have this sense of entitlement, which many people have, you know, God should just forgive me because I'm me after all. Then we're proud people and we don't have Thanksgiving when we feel like we're entitled to things. When we realize that in our basic condition we are beggars, dying beggars, that deserve nothing but death and hell. Then we are thankful when we have a cure in Jesus. You know, I went to the kitchen the other day, and I was so thankful to see something in the kitchen. And it wasn't a steak. It wasn't a pork chop left over. It wasn't ice cream in the freezer. What was I so thankful to see? A bottle of Tylenol. Because I had a severe sinus headache. I battle with allergies this time of the year, and my head was beating. Do we have any Tylenol in the house? And when I opened the door, oh, the Tylenol. I was thankful. Because I was in pain. I was sick. I couldn't do anything about it. My head hurt. If my head doesn't hurt and I'm not in pain, I could care less about a bottle of Tylenol. We got to realize that we're sinners. We're in pain. We're sick. We're dying people. And Christ is the only cure. When we realize that, then we are so thankful that he's there. But if we think we're good enough, we're all fine, good people, I'll just have Jesus on the side. He's kind of like the pumpkin pie. I might have him or not at dessert. Then there's no thanksgiving, or very little. Secondly, thanksgiving involves seeing. Opening these two eyes you have, and your mind, and seeing that you're healed, that you're saved and redeemed. It's interesting to me. Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priest. He heals them with those very words. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, the one that we turned saw he was healed. The other nine probably did too, obviously. But this is a part of Thanksgiving. He opened his eyes and saw that the leprosy was gone. I'm healed. I'm a new person. Christ has healed me by the power of his word. You might say that's easy for the leper. You know, he had leprosy. He could see. What do I see? God in his grace has given us very visual signs of his healing that we are to meditate on and look at to know we are healed and saved, that we might burst forth with thanksgiving. You have a cross. What the kids sing, lift high the cross. If you're a grumpy, discontent person, you're just down all the time, look at the cross and meditate on the cross. Take a day off from work tomorrow and just hold a cross and read about the cross of Jesus shedding his blood for you, forgiving your sins, reconciling you to the Father. If that doesn't move you to thanksgiving, I am blessed, I'm healed, then nothing will. The cross is visual. Our baptism is visual. It's a sacrament. It's a visible sign. Water. Consider your baptism. I've been washed and cleansed. I'm a new person. I'm God's child. And then Holy Communion. We have it today. Something visual. You touch the bread, which is the body of Jesus. The wine, which is the very blood of the risen, crucified Savior. Right here. Open your eyes and consider how you've been blessed. Apart from all the other temporal things we have of house and home and job. We have cross, we have word, we have sacraments. And communion is wonderful to me because it involves all five senses. God communicates through all five senses. We hear, this is my body, this is my blood. We see the bread and the wine, the body and blood. We taste, we smell the wine, we touch. God is saying, I'm here. I love you. I forgive you. You're mine. You have eternal life. So be thankful. And what is the first word the congregation sings after communion? You go back to your pew. What's the first thing we sing when we stand? Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. The first word of our mouths is thank the Lord. Our Thanksgiving recipe, sorrow. Seeing, considering the work of God. Thirdly, being satisfied. This is key. The one leper comes back to Jesus. Does he ask for something more? You know, thank you for healing my body, Jesus, but I could sure use a little money. Is this all, Jesus? You're just going to heal me? Can I have maybe a little money? I've been out of work for a while. I've been a leper. Can you provide a house for me maybe, Jesus? Maybe a good lottery ticket that will actually be the right numbers. Please, Jesus, come on. You can make it happen. Can I have some clothing, perhaps? Can my football team win sometime? Maybe, hopefully. Can you bless me in some way? All you're going to give me is yourself and healing? He doesn't say any of that. He is totally content and satisfied having Jesus and being a new person. Thanksgiving, dear friends, didn't begin with the pilgrims. It didn't begin with William Bradford, some governor that proclaimed Thanksgiving Day. That's all fine. It's a nice thing to do. Thanksgiving begins really when the heart is content and satisfied with Jesus. Forgiveness, eternal life, even though I suffer, even though I may lose everything, like Ruth gave up everything, I have Jesus. I have Jesus. I have Jesus. Say it with me. I have Jesus. Another way of saying it is, the Lord is my shepherd. Do you really mean that? You don't want or really need anything else because you have Jesus? That's a source of thanksgiving. I was hungry the other night, a late night snack, and I go to the pantry in the kitchen, and in the pantry there's some crackers there, some saltines, there's some peanut butter, there's some microwave popcorn, there's some salsa chips in there in the pantry. On the counter there's apples, there's bananas that I like. In the freezer there's ice cream. Ann and Abby hadn't eaten it all by then. In the refrigerator, I think there's some lunch meat, some yogurt. And after I looked over everything, what did I mutter to myself late at night? What did I mutter to myself? Do we have anything in this house to eat? You spoiled brat, if my wife would have heard me. Yeah, your pantry's full of stuff. Pick something. Your refrigerator has stuff. Your freezer has stuff. You spoiled brat, you need something more? Yet that's us of good old American people. I need, my cupboards are full, my cup runneth over, but I still need something more. How selfish and how greedy, and no wonder why we don't give thanks. Contentment in Jesus. Oh Lord, give me a content heart. Give me satisfaction. My cup runneth over, my cupboards overflow. Singing is the fourth ingredient. The leper returns, and the text says he praises God with a loud voice. Contentment is, or thanksgiving is contentment in the heart, but that contentment, that joy, expresses itself with shouts of thanksgiving and praise, with our voices. He praised God with a loud voice. I bet he said, "Alleluia." Shout that with me. Alleluia. We can't help but praise God with our voices. I'm sure the other nine had some level of thanksgiving. How could they not? They probably thought about God for a moment and maybe even said a little prayer to God as they walked on their merry way to go show themselves and get on with life. But here's the key. They didn't take the time and make the effort to come back into the very presence of Jesus and to praise Him and to thank Him and to lay their lives before Him. They just, we would say, used Jesus. They just used Jesus for some temporary healing and bye. And so many people do the exact same thing. They attempt to use God. Give me what I want, God, and then bye. And I might say thanks on my way. Maybe, if I'm lucky. On Thanksgiving days, I eat my turkey and watch my football and take a nap. He comes into the presence of the Lord Jesus. The time, the effort, all by himself, and bows down and praises him aloud. This is Christian worship. It's a great worship text. Many, many people today are thankful out there to some degree. They, oh yeah, I thank God I've been blessed. But they're lazy. They don't take the time and make the effort to come into the presence of Jesus, the church, his domain, the presence of Christ, and to sing and to shout praise and to submit to him and give all things to him in our offerings. And then, of course, receive above all his gifts, which are more important than everything. Come into the presence of Jesus often. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. It doesn't say sit at home and do it. You come into the presence of Jesus and you bow down and you worship and you praise him. Who's getting their ticket to Bristol, Tennessee? Aren't you going to go in, what, 2-3 years? William, are you going to head? The big football game, you haven't heard of this? Tennessee and Virginia Tech at the Speedway. NASCAR and college football united here. 160,000 people, 70,000 people at this football game, orange and whatever color there is, maroon or something like that. And I heard on the radio as I drove around, people were calling and saying, this is marvelous, this is the event of the decade. I'm going to get my ticket, I'm going to be there. Nothing will stop me, I don't care what the ticket costs, I'm going to be there. It's the event of the decade, I'm going to be there. Two average teams at best, in some NASCAR. I've never been in that. Oh, I've been there once for a Christmas thing. Really? 3 years in advance? Where is the call of the church? I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here. And nothing will stop me from being here to worship my God who's conquered all things for me. Last of all, true thanksgiving is submission. The leper praises God with a loud voice, and then he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, the falling at Jesus' feet is not just some one-time emotional act of praise. This is the leper led by the healing of Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit. The leper is submitting his life to Jesus. He has prostrated himself, as you've seen people who are laying down. He is saying, Jesus, I am yours. You've given me life. You've saved me. And now I am yours. Use me as you desire. I submit to you. You are my master. You are my king. All that I have is yours. And I rise to follow you. Jesus says, rise. Go your way. And what is the way he goes? Literally means rise and let us journey together, Jesus says. It's really a bad translation here. It means rise and let us journey together. Meaning the leper didn't get up and go his own way. The leper got up and followed Jesus. He rose in faith, rose in healing, rose in new life, resurrection word here. He's a new man, and he follows Jesus to a cross, to serve mankind, to love other people. We mimic this in communion. To give thanks in the Greek is the word Eucharist. And we don't use that word commonly in the Lutheran church to describe communion, but that's the word Eucharist. He gave Eucharist to Jesus. That's why communion is often called the Great Thanksgiving. Why? Well, primarily we come up and we kneel here. Why do we kneel? Because he's our king. Now, I realize some of you have a bad back. It's okay to stand if you can't physically kneel. We understand. But he's our king. When else do you kneel in your life before something? You kneel before your king, and primarily above all, he gives you himself. He touches you here with his body, but you're forgiven, you're healed. I give you this, I give you myself. And then we rise in faith to go serve him. We are saying here by communion, Lord, fill me that I may serve you. Use me as your instrument. Bless me with renewed faith that I might go forth and serve you and love my neighbor. I am yours. I submit to you. That's what we're giving him, Eucharist. To thank God is to receive his gifts with contentment and to go forth and follow him. You know, by now I've told you before that when I would eat as a kid, and even now I eat very, very fast. I eat my food quick. I did as a kid because I had three brothers and I had to get something to eat. But also, I did as a kid to avoid work. I learned quickly, I can eat real fast and get up from the table and leave my brothers and my sister, above all my sister, to do all the work and clean up. And I'm out playing ball, doing what I want. Ha, ha, ha. Mom and Dad caught on pretty quick. This meal is quick. And we go quickly from church. Not to go do our own thing, but to go do Jesus' thing. To love our neighbor and love our enemy. And serve others, all in his honor, to his glory. So go quickly to serve. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy
Thanksgiving. What's our recipe? It is sorrow, a broken and contrite heart. It is opening my eyes and my heart to see the forgiveness of sins in word and sacrament and to behold it, what God has done for me at Calvary's cross. It is being satisfied and content, my cup runneth over. It is singing praise with my voice endlessly. It is submitting my life to him, my King. May the Spirit work in our hearts true thanksgiving. Amen. We rise. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us